It's the weekend, which means it's time for Jill on Money, the show that makes money fun and just happens to answer all your financial questions. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
All right, it's hour number two, Jill on Money. We are delighted. First time ever, one guest, 2 hours. James Altucher.
I am so honored. Jill, thank you so much for having me on the second hour.
The first hour went so well. I mean, I could have kicked you out if it was bad, right? That was the other.
I know. It went by like that, too.
It's such a beauty. Just like with Julie Andrews. Boom.
There you go.
Fast. You're like Julie.
When you interview someone like that, don't you kind of secretly wish, boy, I wish you would call me up later and be my friend?
Stop it. Are you reading my mind? Because I brought my sister with me to go to do this event. And she said to me, your job is to get us invited to a barbecue at her house out east. Like, that's your job. Like,
see, that's how I felt about Coolio.
That'd be so great.
I just wanted him to be my friend.
Do you know who else I'd like to be my friend? I would like, I think Missy Elliott and I could be friends.
Yeah,
I love her. All right. Now, now we've spent the first hour going back. If you miss any part of this interview, you're going to have to go back and listen to it because this is fascinating stuff. It's fun. James has had a tremendous hopscotching of a career. It's kind of like, I mean, I do feel like we're somewhat kindred spirits because when you hear people say like, well, you know, you've got to have a, you know, career trajectory and you got to figure out where you want to go. And I mean, it's always felt funny to me that I was actually a financial planner, a certified financial planner, because I would say, oh, you got to plan, you got to do that. I never really planned. So it doesn't sound like you really planned. It's just that one opportunity led to the next opportunity.
It's only when I truly gave up and I said, you know what, I don't care what anybody thinks about me, I'm gonna cut as many expenses as I can and just live the life I want to lead, that's when the biggest opportunities, both however you define opportunity, whether it's financial, career, romantic, the biggest opportunities came to me when I finally took every mask off and was just myself. And I showed that and expressed that the most in my media, in my writing at first.
So we're now at like the financial crisis. You're writing a ton, and you're finding happiness in this, right?
Oh yeah, I was ridiculously happy. Although it's funny when you're ridiculously happy. Here's the calls I was getting from friends: James, I'm really worried. Are you about to kill yourself? Like, do you have cancer? Like, those were the calls. They had not seen this. They thought I was being so, because I was being so confessional, they thought I was, like, trying to get my life off my chest before it ends. And you know what? That continues to this day. I know I'm writing well still if I'm still getting the same calls. So I wrote something. You actually just showed me the article. I wrote something a few weeks ago. A friend from high school called me and said, I'm really worried about you. Are you going to do something? Here's my phone number. You can always call me day or night, which I appreciated. It was such a gracious thing from someone I haven't spoken to in such a long time. But I'm like, I'm fine. What do you mean? And he's like, this article that you just wrote. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm really happy. So I had to write another article explaining these were the calls I was getting, but actually it's good. Don't worry.
So you are right on your own website. You have your own blog. Do you write for other publications still?
I do, only because I believe very much in the message I'm writing about. And so whatever website is willing to have me, I write for. But in general, I'm a LinkedIn influencer. I write a lot on Medium. I write for maybe a dozen different sites. But mostly I just write for my email list and my blog. And I write on my Facebook page. So I write wherever somebody reads words, I write.
And so, in other words, let me just ask this sycophantic question. So if I follow you on your Facebook page, would you also now maybe accept me as a real friend?
I would accept you as a real friend, but
you heard it here, Mark, right here. Mark's not on Facebook.
You'd have to email me also, because I have too many. I let my friend requests sort of pile up.
But you don't answer email. You said that you don't answer email.
I answered your Twitter message.
I know.
Instantly.
I know. But, you know, you've written that you don't answer email.
But Twitter DM I answer.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I get fewer of those.
All right. That's good. All right. So let me set up the next segment, because Mark's already like making me nuts because he's like, there's 4 minutes left in this segment. So here's how I knew of you. I think I read you in the FT. I think that's actually
a long time ago, yeah.
So I think I started to get really know who I became acquainted with you that way. And every now and again, I would read some stuff of yours. I, too, am a LinkedIn influencer, which is sort of like getting into college now. Like, I'd never get into an Ivy League school today, but I got in a long time ago when it was easier. So same thing with a LinkedIn influencer. I wouldn't be an influencer.
Totally.
The window was closing.
We ran in there.
They're like, oh, we only want CEOs up. I'm like, all right. Well, phew, made it. They can't take it away from you, I don't think. You'd have to do something
bad.
Yours
for life.
It's up, baby. So what happened was, I'm doing all this research about, because we're, you know, Mark and I are trying to launch other podcasts. We're doing all this stuff. We're doing research. And I was like, wait a minute. James has a podcast? And I sort of binge on pretty much every broadcast you've done.
Wow.
Because I like you. Not every single
Thank
one,
you.
But pretty close. Especially if I like the guest. And then I come to this podcast where you talk to your producer, who sounds lovely. It's way nicer than Mark. About how minimalism brought you freedom and joy. You wrote about it, and then you went on the podcast to talk about it. And so here's how I met. Here's a, like, the randomness and the beauty of the social and digital world in which we live. I was really blown away. I know exactly where I was. I was in Southampton listening on my headphones, doing the Great East End cleanup because it was Earth Day. So I'm picking up garbage on a beach. That's what I was doing, listening to your podcast.
Very appropriate.
Standing up and listening and saying, oh, my God, this guy is really – this is awesome. And I was very moved. I really was. I felt like this amazing sense of like, this is an authentic human being. And I just don't think there's a ton of authentic human beings, especially in media.
Thank you.
Okay. So I finished the podcast and I tweet to you. We're not connected in any way. You weren't following me. I wasn't following you at the moment, at that time. I might have been following you. But I wrote, you know, at your handle. And then I said, I just listened to your minimalist podcast and it blew me away. Would you ever consider coming on my show? And then a couple days later, you wrote back. And I felt like the luckiest person in the world. Like, oh, my God. And I said, I send Mark a note. I'm like, clear the decks. We're getting someone really awesome for the show.
Wow. I'm really honored. Thank
you. That's good, right? And so that's how we got to where we are today. And Mark's laughing at me right now. So when we come back, I want to talk about your minimalist life. What that means
sure.
to you
sure.
and kind of unpack that a bit. And also how you think why it has aroused so much feedback, good and bad. Because
good and bad, yes.
But a much smaller percentage of bad. But some bad stuff that was, I felt like very much like a projection of whatever's going on in that person's life, which is what
Absolutely.
I usually think bad
yeah.
is about. But also this wave of almost like admiration, people who really, really loved it. All right. Do I have time? What's my time now? Go? Go. You're listening to Jill on Money. When we return, more with James Altucher, 855-411-JILL. You're going to learn how to find minimalism. Could bring you freedom and joy. We'll be right back.
It doesn't matter if you're 25 or 65, Jill Schlesinger is here to help you. Back to Jill on Money.
You're back with Jill on Money. We've got a special guest, James Altucher. James, is that music a little too old school?
No,
you're
I love
good?
It.
That's good.
Yeah, it makes me feel good.
That's exactly right. It puts a big smile on your
face.
It's
like a little bit of solace in it.
Yeah.
But still makes you happy in that kind of solace-y way.
I know. I'm very happy about that. You're very happy because you did really kind of shed some stuff. You not just physically.
Yeah.
But you've had – so you have an amazing career filled with monetary success, monetary failure. As you said, you're really good at building things, accumulating some money, blowing it. But then you start doing the thing you really love, which is, by the way, not necessarily the recipe for financial success for most people. Like, oh, I love to cook, so I'll open a restaurant, and then they go broke.
No, but what happens, I think, when you do something you love and people see that joy is opportunities come your way. And so that's what started happening to me. That is how I built financial success afterwards. I didn't enjoy running companies, but I enjoyed investing in my friends who I trusted who were running companies. Mm-hmm. And I started getting more and more of those opportunities when people realized through my writing that I was someone they could trust and listen to and want to be involved with them. So that helped me. So the writing directly contributed to giving me financial opportunities that now I hopefully keep and grow.
You got the kids. You have to have like a little bit of that weight on you, right? Does that,
yes,
that helps in the process, do you think?
It does. But, you know, they're getting older. You know, they're not going to be dependent on me having money, I hope. So, but you never know.
Mm.
For me, freedom is really important. I like to do exactly what I want to do. And sometimes money gets you that. But also money could restrict your freedom, too. If you make money and start buying extra houses and a plane or whatever, or artwork, and suddenly your possessions own you instead of the other way around.
So you wrote this post about minimalism and how it brought you freedom and joy. So talk a little bit about what this life looks like for you and why you chose to do this.
So here's what was happening. I had two places to live, and my lease was coming up on both places. So I said, okay, I don't want to renew either lease, and I will have no place to live. And I asked a friend of mine I paid her a little bit of money, and I said, go to both places. I want you to throw everything out. These are all the possessions I've accumulated over my entire life, like baseball cards from when I was a kid, a college diploma, trophies from, like, let's say, a chess tournament when I was a teenager, all my clothes, all my furniture, all sheets, towels, computers, everything I owned, 100% of everything I owned. I said, I'm going to go away for a weekend. By the time I get back, I don't want anything. And I don't want you to call me at all during this process.
Like, because she might say, are you sure? Because look, I got your Sandy Koufax card here.
Which is exactly the card she did call me about. Actually, are you psychic?
I am, like, a little.
And she called me about my diploma. She called me about my photo albums, from pictures from when I was a baby, pictures of my parents and stuff. And I said, I want nothing. There's nothing I want to keep around that I'm never going to look at again, that I'm only going to outsource to my kids to have to get rid of after I die.
That's so interesting, though, because even I'm not really a minimalist, but I'm going to be a fake minimalist, but I've been feeling like my father died almost 3 years ago, and I didn't have a lot of pictures of him up in my apartment, but after he died, I really wanted some pictures of him.
Sure, and I appreciate that. Like, everybody's different.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
sure.
I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. Just for me, I wanted nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the end of that weekend, the leases were gone. I had no more possessions. I had one bag to carry my laptop and iPad in, and I had another bag with about three outfits of clothes in them. And I walked out of my apartment, and I honestly had nowhere to go. I actually had no new apartment lined up. I had no apartment to live in, no house to live in, and no possessions other than these two bags. For the first time in ever, since you're a little kid, you have possessions.
Right.
Even when you go to college, you think you don't have possessions. You actually have a full room full of possessions, and you accumulate more. And I decided also, if it doesn't fit in my bag, I don't want it, or I have to throw something out from my bag. And so I called up, and I had money. I've been successful, but I didn't even want to go through the stress of having to find an apartment, because then you have to fill out paperwork, or Airbnb. There's the transactional stress, and you've got to move. So I called up every friend I had ever done a favor for, and this shows you the benefits of being kind to the people around you. So somebody who 10 years earlier, 12 years earlier, I had helped him make an enormous amount of money, he had just finished building another apartment, and he was leaving his old apartment. He said, James, why don't you come and stay at my older apartment? So I'm the luckiest homeless person ever. So I have no possessions. I go to his place, which is a 3,000-square-foot penthouse apartment. He went to his other place, I said, I'll pay you rent. He said, no, you don't need to pay me any rent. You did me this huge favor. I'm really grateful. And so I stayed there for a few days. I've stayed with other friends for a few days. I went out to California. Someone paid. I went to speak at a conference. Someone paid the whole way. And again, it's not like I couldn't pay. I'm just almost doing this experiment. I don't want to deal with possessions or money. And
so
it's worked.
It's been, so what has been the feeling that you, so you did this, what, 2 years ago? Is that right?
No, I started it a year and a half ago where I started throwing out all my stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's only recently that I realized, you know what? I started being a minimalist, but I didn't even realize what true minimalism meant. It felt like minimalist to throw a lot of things out, but I still owned a lot of things. So it was only in the past few months that I realized, you know what? I'm not going to start from the top and throw stuff out. I'm going to start from the point of view that I want nothing and just throw everything else from the bottom to the top out. So that's why I wasn't involved at all. My friend, I said to her, keep whatever you want, sell whatever you want. I want nothing to do with the decision. I just want zero. And that's what I started with. And that's just in the past few months.
So talk about how this feels.
I can't say it feels, oh my God, I have this absolute freedom, because it's not always just about possessions either. You have to have minimalism. It has to really translate to the inside also, a minimalism of anxiety, minimalism of emotional things that affect you. And that takes work too. Throwing things out of your brain is sometimes harder than throwing things in the garbage. So it's still an ongoing process. But I will say it's really great to pick up. And wherever I am, I live. I live in this studio right now. Half my possessions are in this studio right now.
Are you going to sleep at Mark's tonight? Maybe
I might.
Yeah, he probably would. I mean, his girlfriend, I'm sure, is very nice. He hasn't introduced her to his mommy yet, but...
Mark, how come you haven't introduced
exactly.
your girlfriend yet?
That's right.
But you know what? To his credit, I usually do it too fast. And then my parents get disappointed.
Yeah.
I usually do it too fast introducing to my children, and then the last one... They cried when I had a breakup, and I don't want to do that to my kids. You want to be an example to your children.
Yes, absolutely. I understand that. So when we come back from the break, I'm interested in what the last bit of what you talked about, which was sort of the unburdening yourself emotionally as well. Because, right, the metaphor is you're going to be unburdened. Because I think a lot of people, they go through their lives, and it's business, and it's personal life, and you have this old stuff that's hanging around. That is your baggage, right? And
yes.
How do you get rid of it? And
that's sometimes more baggage than your physical belongings.
Exactly. And I was sort of intrigued to read about how you were trying to reach out to certain people, maybe who you might have hurt or something happened to, and to kind of do the experiment of like pushing something out there. And maybe that's about forgiveness. Maybe that's about closure, whatever you want to call it. I think a lot of people have a hard time with that. And I think that in all of our relationships, and maybe as like the best people we can be, the more you can do that.
Well, think about the expression. And this is a very minimalist expression when people say it. What have I got to lose? So if you've already given away everything, including this stuff in your head, what have you got to lose by reaching out to someone you're uncomfortable with?
Oh, this is so good. Mark, you ready? You ready to do it? You ready to unburden yourself? Mark, you know, he only goes on microphone very rarely. He's done it like a few times. All right, you're listening to Jill on Money. James Altucher is our guest. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. I know it's a little bit different than your normal questions about 529 plans and estate planning and whether you should use a robo or not, but it's our show. We'll be right back.
Young, old, it doesn't matter. She's here to help you. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Can you
believe it? You're back with Jill on Money. We are joined by, what do I want to call you? Like, I want a different name. It just, one word that...
Jimmy?
Renaissance man or something interesting that's bigger than trader, writer, entrepreneur, podcaster. What word should we use for you?
I don't know.
I can't help you with that. Yoda, kind of like a
people have called me that. But I Yoda. I reject that title too.
Okay, Anyway, James Altucher, we'll think of a good name for him. Poor Mark, the producer, who is having like an anxiety attack thinking about where you're going to sleep tonight. He really is. He's sweating because he is as much as he thinks he's not, he's just a conventional guy. He's very old school. He's a 30-something. He acts like he's 68 years old. He is a 68-year-old Italian nana is what he is. And he's an excellent cook. He makes excellent sauce. So he's got all the good stuff about it also. But so you've embraced a life where you've unburdened a lot of your physical possessions and you don't have a place to live. And this is not like, by the way, just so everyone doesn't like write in. No, he doesn't have like no money. He's got plenty of money now. You've learned how to keep some money. You're successful in terms of keeping your kids fed and nurtured, but you don't have an apartment. You're a bit of a vagabond a wanderer. Talk about this concept, though, of unburdening yourself emotionally in this process. That, like, you know, you wanted to reach out and sort of say, like, I want to make some things right, maybe.
Well, you know, you hear this expression all the time, live life like it's your last day. And I don't quite believe that that saying because if you live life like today's your last day, you might do things that are very irresponsible.
Right.
You still have to go to your job or take care of your responsibilities or, you know, for me, make sure my children are fed. But I like an extension of it, which is live life like this is your last year. So if you knew this was going to be your last year, you still have to make sure a month from now you're eating and your kids are eating and maybe beyond your death they're eating. But you start to infuse every moment with a little bit more care and concern, but you also take your past and say, okay, I no longer have the time to worry about my past, what somebody once did to me, what I once did to somebody else, what things make me angry in the country. None of these things are important if this is your last year, because after death, we don't know. Now, I don't plan on dying in a year, but if I live every day like I will, it creates a different feeling about how I'm going to treat people and how I'm going to treat myself and how I'm going to treat the people I don't speak to anymore or deal with. So, for instance, one of these things that I almost naturally did on this day that I really threw everything out is I wrote to a bunch of people who I no longer speak to for various reasons. Maybe they don't speak to me. Maybe something 10 years happened, I don't speak to them. And I wrote to all of them and told them how much I loved and appreciated them. And some of them responded, some of them didn't, but that doesn't matter to me. That's not the reason why I wrote to them. You write without expectation. And, you know, that was part of minimalism for me, was to actually do these things. And, you know, part of it also is to make sure I'm not going to let the small things in life, let's say you get stuck in a traffic jam. I call this a difficult gratitude problem. What can you find grateful in something that's difficult? So if you get stuck in a traffic jam in New York City, you could think to yourself, how fantastic is this? I'm in the most popular city in the world. Everyone else wants to go where I'm going. And that, so it's so exciting that I'm here, as opposed to being like, ugh, I'm going to be late. This is miserable. Why am I here? So you find all the difficult things in your life and solve these problems. And that, to me, is a, I don't care how other people define it, that to me is part of minimalism.
So were you surprised at some of the responses that you did, of the responses you got? Were you surprised? Did anyone be like, ah, screw you? But was it all positive feedback from the friends you wrote to?
I think it wasn't all positive feedback from the friends I wrote to. Some people didn't respond because they're still whatever, they're still in whatever state. But that's not my baggage. That's something that's not on their mind. And it's hard enough to have what's in my mind. I don't want what's in other people's minds, too. I can't carry all of the baggage. And I was surprised how many people thought I was in trouble. So if you don't live the standard American way of spending every dollar, you know, America on average the average American has a negative savings rate. So if you don't spend every dollar and then some, you're living this very anti-American way of life now. And I was surprised how many people either thought I was lying, or they thought I was in trouble in some way, or they thought I was depressed and miserable. I posted one photo of me where I guess I on purpose looked a little bit sad, and then people were like, oh my gosh, can we help him and raise money? And you know, and I was about to go up actually into the apartment I was staying at that night, and you know, I was surprised at that. But one thing I learned too, though, very important, is that years and years of compounding kindness to others without ever letting anyone, I never let anyone be kind to me. And that was my own form of narcissism and baggage. And yet we're told all the time it's good in life to be kind to others. So people wanted to be kind and I never let them. So finally I let them after decades, and I was surprised how many people were kind and generous with me in whatever, place to live, meals, whatever. Since I threw everything away, I thought I would have to spend money on, you know, staying places. I haven't spent a dime of my own money. So
it's amazing.
It's been great.
It's fantastic. I, of course, have, you know, I think that when reading the comments about it, I'm sort of enamored with the concept and know that I could never do it because, number one, I have to wear too many clothes for work, so I can't unpack enough, right? And number two, I'm definitely, not that I like things, but there's a few things I really like.
Like what?
Books. And I like physical books.
I love physical books. I love physical books. I gave away probably 5 bookshelves worth of books and many more because I had books in closets and so on. And I moved everything to my Kindle. And I still love physical books. So I'll spend an hour or two a couple times a week at a bookstore and get a coffee and pick out all the books I want and read the books. And I'm afraid to say, after I read them, I don't buy them. I get them on my Kindle.
It's all right. Don't be embarrassed. There's no judgment here. We're talking to James Altucher. It's the Jill on Money Show with 855-411-JILL. It's going by so fast. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
From rookie investors to savvy veterans, Jill Schlesinger is here to help you. Call now, 855-411-JILL, or email askjill@jillonmoney.com.
All right, it doesn't get better than this, gang. We got this fabulous interview that we conducted earlier this year with minimalist James Altucher. Now, you listen to this and tell me why he was the best interview of the year, according to Mark Talercio, producer of the Jill on Money Show. Let me know what you think. Mark, what segment are we up to? Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Like, we hardly have any time left, and you've barely been here.
I know. I feel like I just got here.
It's crazy. You can come back anytime you want.
Excellent.
It's fantastic. So in your minimalist lifestyle— And you did say that, you know, you wrote about the fact that, you know, you're financially more responsible now. Do you feel like you see trends and things more clearly without a lot of the other clutter in your life?
Absolutely, because I'm not biased about any one trend. So, for instance, here's one of the biggest cognitive biases ever. The biggest expense you're ever going to make in life is probably owning a home. You know, you put this enormous down payment down, and there's a cognitive bias called investment bias or sunken cost bias, where if you spend so much money, your brain is not going to let you think you made a bad decision. So often people do make a bad decision by buying a home. Mm-hmm. They use phrases like, oh, you're throwing your money out with rent. But it's an illiquid, highly leveraged investment that where the only time you really need your money is the exact time you can't get your money out. And then there's maintenance costs, taxes costs, all these things. And you're not mobile. If you have a job on the other side of the country, then suddenly you can't do it. You're stuck. So for me, I've owned houses and I've not owned houses. And for me, I can say, okay, if I were to make a choice right now, I would not buy a house. I really like just having one bag of clothes and one bag for my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never, ever decide at this point to live in a house.
It's so funny. So after my dad died, my mom's living in this house. And literally a builder like knocks on her door and is like, hey, I know you. You're a realtor in town. And I'm like, I heard your husband died and I want to buy your house. And so she freaked out. Like, oh, my God, I'm not going to have any place to go. And I was like, wait a second. This is awesome, Mom. Like this.
Right. There are so many choices and about living. But people are in that cognitive bias. Their brain almost can't understand that there's other choices.
And you know what was so cool about watching her go through the process is that part of it was, you know, I'm packing up my life. This 52-year marriage, I'm packing it up, right? I got to get out.
Though.
It's sad. It's hard. It was agonizing. Of course, she has a new boyfriend, so don't feel so sad for her. She's fine. She's doing great. Susan's awesome. She's fantastic. Her minimalist life is perfect right now. But the thing that was really kind of cool about it also was she said to me, you know, it was such a good idea that I got out of the house. I never, you know, it's been so long since I rented, you know, basically like 55 years since I've been a renter. She goes, there's such freedom in not having to worry about anything.
Right. And then beyond renting, there's Airbnb, there's other choices, and I love it all. I'll experiment with all of them. So that's just it, is that life is not meant to be a straight line from the lower left to the upper right. Life is like a laboratory where you do these experiments. And the more experiments you do, the more you get out of your comfort zone. You only get to know yourself when you get out of your comfort zone and really see where the boundaries are. We learn early on where the comfort zone is, and that's a much smaller place than where we really are. So you have to experiment to kind of push those boundaries and figure out who you really are. And that's also a little bit what I feel minimalism is about. You're not handcuffed to that tiny comfort zone.
And you know, it does demand that you kind of take a look at what's inside of you. And I'm not sure a lot of people are ready to do that, which is why I thought the negative comments were sort of funny in a weird way. Like, why are you saying I should do this? And you didn't say that anyone else should do. You said, this is what I'm doing.
Right.
And then it was funny to see some of the negative comments, which were silly in a lot of ways, right? Projecting whatever their own insecurity was onto you. You're not saying, go do this.
No, and all, you know, it's funny. I say everywhere, I'm not giving advice at all. Autobiography is the only advice you can give. Because what does anybody really know? It's a complicated world, and we revise our opinions every few months anyway. But it's funny, just telling my story, everyone's willing to criticize, and I wasn't giving advice or criticism to anybody, but everybody felt that they had so much knowledge, they should impart it on to me, too. So what can I do?
You can't win.
Yeah.
But you did get mostly really fantastic feedback.
Yes.
And that's the most. That's great. So I just want you to know that we have one more segment left, and it's a short segment.
I'm going to miss you, Jill.
I know. Well, we're—
And Mark,
obviously. I want you to think about, during this break, I want you to think about, like, the most important thing you want to impart on me and our listeners before we wrap up our first of many, hopefully, discussions. And maybe it can be an investment thing. Maybe it can be a societal thing. Maybe it could be, I'm not going to give you advice.
Sure.
It could be your new favorite mooching tip for somebody, like how to get the most out of your friends and family, something like that. You know, whatever it needs to
be. How about all of the above? We'll do all of the above.
In 3 minutes.
Yes.
You're listening to Jill on Money. We are joined by James Altucher. If you missed any part of this, you've got to go to the website, jillonmoney.com. You can go to James' website. Yours is
jamesaltucher.com, or my favorite book, Choose Yourself, that I wrote.
Oh, Choose Yourself. We'll get to that in a second. All right. 855-411-JILL. Ask Jill at JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back to wrap up this awesome show. You're back with Jill on Money. We're wrapping up the show with James Altucher. All right, 3 minutes. What do you got on your mind? It's like a lightning round of James.
Sure. And so I want the one thing that's been most important to me over the past few years has been telling the story of failing. And each time I failed, I would think to myself, oh my gosh, why am I on the bottom again? Like, it's just a nightmare. And I would notice, it happened to me so many times, it was almost like statistically significant what was going right on the way up and what was going wrong on the way down. And so finally I wrote about it and I've continued to apply it in my life every single day. And this is not advice, again.
This is just what you do.
This is just what I do.
And this is where you found some internal peace and happiness.
Right, and it's very simple, which is why I don't like kind of this self-help genre in general, because I think they get into these really complicated formulas for success or whatever. But so this is so simple, it almost sounds ridiculous, what I'm going to say. But every day I just make sure I check 4 boxes. So am I doing something for my physical health? Like, am I trying to improve 1% my physical health? Am I doing something to strengthen my relationships, like my friendships and so on, or making new friends? Am I doing something for myself that's creative, like just write a few pages or do this podcast is creative? And am I doing something for my, what I call spiritual health, but I really mean gratitude. Like, and I mean not just being grateful for my children, but, you know, like these difficult gratitude problems we talked about earlier. So again, physical, emotional, creative, gratitude. If I can just check the box on those 4 things, I know, and I've proved it for myself again and again, I'm going to bounce back amazingly quickly from any downturn in my life. Life happens, and we all have downturns, but this helps reverse the downturns.
I'm going to link out, and we'll send you all the links that you need to read about, like, James' fabulous stuff, his website, his podcast. I'm going to force him to come back. He may have to sleep in my apartment as a trade, but we're going to have him back. Was I right, Mark? He's great. See, even Mark. Mark!
Excellent,
the
Mark.
Italian grandmother is happy. All right, if you miss any part of the show, go to jillonmoney.com. You can tell me what you thought, but if it's negative, I'm not going to read it. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Again, if you missed any part of the program, go to jillonmoney.com. We will post the show with all sorts of links to James's fantastic writing. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.